All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I want to speak to you this morning about Enoch. I have preached on Enoch several times through the years. This is not one of those sermons. It's a different one. It's a new one. But that's the amazing thing about the Bible is you can go at any verse or any thought 10 different ways and never cover the same stuff. And I want to speak to you this morning about Enoch. What a great man he was. And I want you to notice that Enoch lived before the flood. All right, just keep that little thought up in your head. We don't get to the flood until you get into the 8th chapter. And God discusses the flood in chapter 8 and 9 and how everything was destroyed. But there was a 2,000-year history from Adam, from creation, to the flood. 2,000 years of history. And what we have in this 5th chapter is the genealogy from Adam to Noah. We have God telling us about who lived and who died during that period. A running history, if you will. Advertisements for you to go online and type in your name, and they will check your ancestry. They will go back and see where you came from and run your genealogy for you. And I understand that a lot of folks have done that and have been surprised to find out where they came from and what was in their family history. If I ever get some free time, I might do that, although I'm not sure I want to know, to be honest with you. But here we have the history of men from Adam to Noah. And there is one character that stands out in this history, and I want us to look at his story this morning. It begins in verse 21. And if you will look at verse 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." All right, so Enoch lived for 65 years, and then he and his wife had a child. And they named that child Methuselah. Now watch how this is worded. Such simple language. But when you stop and consider the simple language, a story is told. And if you will look at verse 22, after Methuselah was born, in verse 22 it says, "And Enoch walked with God." You see, that little conjunction "and" connects what is about to be said with what was stated previously. And what was stated previously was that Enoch had a son whose name was Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. He walked with God. And then it says, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "The Man Who Walked with God." The Man Who Walked with God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we just thank you so much for the word, and I pray you'll bless this morning as we look at the word of God and look specifically at this man who walked with you, a man by the name of Enoch. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I preach the message this morning. And I pray that each one of us will have attentive minds and hearts, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to touch our lives and make a difference and help us to learn to trust you more. And Father, when we leave here in just a little bit, I pray that that it is on every heart that as we walk out of this building this morning, our desire is to walk with God. So Father, help me this morning and help all of us to hear what thus saith the Lord. For it's in his name we pray, and amen. This chapter that I read a couple of verses out of this morning is an uninterrupted record of the generations from Adam through Noah to the great flood that destroyed mankind, except for Noah and his family. One after another, the fathers and their sons are chronicled. And the only memorial they have left is that they were born and they had their own children and then they died. And God just goes through each generation telling that story. And it is in the midst of this long list of names from Adam to Noah that we come across a name that stands out among all the rest. In verse 22, we read these words, "And Enoch walked with God." Now, if you're like me, I question everything. I read something, I stop and think about it, ask questions about it in my own mind. And I want you to ask these questions this morning. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Question is, what kind of life did he live? What did he do for a living? You know, all we have of his life are these few verses. Just a few verses. And it's difficult for any of us to come to any real conclusion from the scant information that we're given. But ask yourself, what trials did he face? What triumphs did he enjoy? I guess we'll never know until we get to heaven and we're known even as we know. What was his occupation? The Bible doesn't say. We don't know what he did for a living. What kind of personality did he have? Was he outgoing or was he a timid little fella? Nobody knows, for the Bible doesn't share any of that with us. All of these things have been hidden by God from us. The Lord did not share any of these things about him that might have given us even a little liberty to imagine the kind of man that he was and what he must have been like as a person. The one lasting impression Enoch made, and the one that swallowed up all other memories, was that he was a man who walked with God. How that impression, which must have been very powerful, but how that impression, since it wiped out every other memory of his life once it was created, but once that impression, or how that impression, is not explained to us. It's just not explained. It just states he walked with God. You say, how, Pastor? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. It just tells us that he walked with God. Physically, spiritually, the text does not tell us. All it says is he walked with God. Now, I do know that when his life was summed up, like all the rest of these men in this chapter, lives which covered 2,000 years of history, Enoch's story was told that he walked with God. All of the other things he did and accomplished were not mentioned, but it was mentioned that he walked with the Lord. Now, let me ask you, dear friend, have you ever thought seriously of the ultimate impression that your life is going to leave upon this earth? Have you ever thought about that? What impression are you going to leave upon the world? It's a question that is well worth considering, don't you think? Let me put it in an illustration for you. Living in this area where we have so much Civil War history, I want you to think of a battlefield. Now, when the smoke is hanging over the battlefield, it is difficult to tell which way the battle is going, is it not? You can't tell when the smoke and the chaos is raining and the battle is going on. You know that the battle is flowing in a certain direction, but you're just not sure which direction it is. And it's not until the smoke clears that you're able to see who has won the fight. So what will be the verdict on your life when the clouds have lifted and the strife is over? Will it be said that you have lived a life where others can look at your life and say, as they did of Enoch, that guy or that gal walked with the Lord? Now, there are three suggestions about Enoch that I want to call to your attention this morning. First of all, I want you to notice with me that Enoch's life was deepened by experience. His life was deepened by experience. Look at your Bible in verse 21 for just a moment. His life was deepened by experience. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at verse 21, it tells us that Enoch lived for 65 years. 65 years he lived his life. Notice that it does not say that Enoch walked with God for 65 years, but it says that he lived for 65 years, just like all the other people mentioned in this chapter. But notice when he got 65 years of age, something happened in his home, in his life. His life was greatly impacted by something that changed him and changed him tremendously. And what that monumental event, this earth-shattering thing that deepened his experience was, he had a child. I mean, he had a son. Earth-shattering thing that deepened his experience, that, let me say it this way, it woke him up. It made a man out of him. It opened his eyes. This thing that happened to him made him realize that it was time to get right with God and to do the right thing and to be the right thing. It was time to grow up and act like a man. He had a child, and that child was enough to startle him to where he started walking with God. Now, folks, just think about it. The seventh from Adam, and think of what God meant to him. Just think about it. He's the seventh one from Adam. It's not that far removed. These people lived a whole lot longer than what you and I live today. These people lived long lives, close to 1,000, some of them. And they knew Adam, and they knew Seth, and they knew some of their great grandfathers and great uncles. They knew them. They sat and listened and heard them tell their stories. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, And just think about what God must have meant to him. Think of all that he must have learned in his boyhood about the fall in the Garden of Eden. Just think of what they must have told him about how angry God was when they disobeyed him and sinned and he had to kick them out of the garden. Just think about the stories that they were told about how the curse that sin brought to everything, how it affected everybody from that moment on. No doubt he heard about God's bitter disappointment when Adam sinned and when Cain sinned. But then his own child was born and life was deepened for him. Now all of a sudden, all of this stuff that he heard about and all these lessons that had been taught to him by his uncles and his grandfathers, all of that stuff now becomes reality because he's got his own child. He's got his own son. His own child was born and life was deepened for him. He woke up and found himself to be a father. Wow, what a responsibility that is. And now all of a sudden, love that he felt for his son on earth spoke of a love from heaven that God had for him. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. Is this not often how things go for many of us? You remember back when you were in high school and you went from high school into college and, in our youth, we are just cruising through life. I mean, life's a hoot back in those days. Remember that? You're not serious about anything, much less being serious about God. What is it about youth that makes us think that we don't need God's help? Oh, we can handle whatever life may throw at us, or so we think. We were trained and raised in a Christian home and we believe the Bible and we believe in God and we pray and we attend church, and yet our faith has never really become real to us. But then all of a sudden, life is deepened. Remember that day you graduate? Remember that day you walk down the aisle? My dad's here. I've told you this before, but my dad put his arm around me about 3 hours before I stood at the altar with Karen. And my dad put his arm around me. We were looking out the picture window at the lake that was out in front of the house. And my dad put his arm around me and he said, "Well, son, this is it." And I was standing there and I was thinking, "It? What does it mean?" And I turned and looked at him and I said, "What do you mean this is it?" He said, "Well, you're about to say I do." I said, "Okay. But why does that have to be it?" And he said, "You're about to go out on your own. And you'll make your own decisions. And you'll become your own man." Well, it took me a while to get there. But you eventually wake up, don't you? And you take responsibility. And if you don't, life becomes a shamble. And your marriage becomes a shamble. And your home becomes a shamble. You kind of have to wake up. And so here is Enoch. He was 65 years of age, but his life was deepened when all of a sudden he found himself a father. Something happens. Some trial comes. Some heartache comes. Some heartbreak comes. Sometimes in an hour, sometimes through a long and tedious gradual experience, and suddenly we begin to feel our complete and utter dependence on God. And that's what happened to Enoch. He realized he needed the Lord once he had a family. We realize In an hour when our lives are deepened, we realize the need to pray. We understand how awful sin is, and we become aware of the sinfulness of sin, and we feel the need of God's pardoning mercy, and we come running to the Lord for help. Thank God He's always there. That's what experience can do. That's what a death can do. That's what an illness can do. That's what both joy and sorrow in the home can do. Taking the average life of Enoch and deepening it into a walk with God. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that Enoch walked with God in a very evil age. Listen, folks, I know it was before the flood, but you can read in the next chapter and you can find out just how evil a day it was when Enoch was alive. We like to use the excuse today that it's difficult today to walk with God because we're living in such an evil day. Well, brethren, let me tell you, Enoch lived in the days before the flood, and they were evil days. When you go to the next chapter and you read how things were, you learn that the day in which Enoch lived was full of wickedness. Men had forsaken God. They had become vile. They had become murderous. They had descended to the level of animals. And it was a brutal time. And in the midst of this evil was Enoch, who walked with God. And don't you think that there was plenty available to drag Enoch down, and that there was very little in Enoch's day to lift him up? Oh, it was a terrible time. You see, men had forgotten God before the flood came. And God had just given them over to their own lust to do that which was in their hearts to do. And it was in the midst of all this wickedness that this man lived. And when you get over into the book of Jude in the New Testament, the book of Jude tells us that Enoch preached his heart out, warning these folks to come back to the Lord and telling them that the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints. That was Enoch. Now let's think about the influence that a godly man like this might have had. You see, he walked with God. Hey, for 300 years after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. Look at your Bible, 300 years. And I think that in that 300 years of faithfully walking with God, that surely he would have had to make quite an influence on a lot of people, don't you? I mean, being the preacher that he was, I'm sure that he had to influence a lot of people. 300 years is a long time. And for 300 years, this man walked with God and preached that the Lord was coming back. Can you not picture how men would have turned to him when their lives fell apart because of their foolish sin? Can you not picture how people would have come to him and said, "Man, can you help me?" I would guess that they would have turned to the guy who walked with God. Don't you? You know, I said this in the first service, and it's true. The guys will vouch for it. There's hardly a day passed, but what somebody who has gotten out here and just lived for themselves and lived for the world and just, you know, grabbed the gusto and everything else, and there's hardly a day passed, but what somebody doesn't come and knock on the doors around here, and you can just look at them and see the scars of sin all over them. You can just look at them and see how rough things are. You can just look at them and see the stain of the world all over them. And then they stand there, a broken shell of an individual. They don't have a dime to their name. They've lost everything they have. And in sheer brokenness, they come and say, "Can anybody around here help me?" And I dare say that if Enoch walked with God in this evil day, man, there must have been in 300 years a lot of people who would have come to him and said, "Enoch, you walk with God. You got it all together. Look at your life. Look at your family. Look how your kids are doing. Man, Enoch, can you help me? I'm a mess. I'm just a mess. I mean, neighbor after neighbor, friend after friend. They watched as sin destroyed their families and their businesses and their relationships and their friendships. But there was old Enoch, steadfast and stable, old and yet ever young, tender of heart and blameless in character. And old Enoch, he just kept plodding right along. And I'll guarantee you that his life and his witness and his testimony to the whole area was used to bring glory to God, probably more so than 1,000 sermons could have. The point is, Christian, walk with God. I mean, if the whole world just goes sin crazy, walk with God. If the whole world goes Kardashian nuts, walk with God. Just serve the Lord every day. Listen, it's time to grow up. It's time to get a hold of God and just walk with God and let the world see Christ in you. Be that shining city on a hill that the Lord Jesus talked about. Be that light so that all the world can see your light shine for the glory of God. Then thirdly, I want you to notice that Enoch walked with God in the place where he lived. Look at your Bible again. Simple words, but let's read into it. Let's see what God's saying. Look at verse 22. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." That little tidbit is added in there. You see, he didn't have Methuselah, his firstborn, and then pack up his family and leave and find some refuge to escape to, get away from everything and everybody. No, he had Methuselah, and then he started walking with God, and he and his wife begat sons and daughters. They just lived. They just lived where they were. He lived at home. Let me say it that way. He didn't pack up his family and go carry them up a mountain somewhere and build a monastery with a wall around it to shield them from the world. No, he just walked with God where he was. He just walked with God where he was. He took up his daily cross where he lived. He did his day's work. He played with his children. He taught them to work. He raised his family. Yet everybody saw that a change came in his life when his first son was born. For you see, for 65 years, he had only lived. But then after Methuselah was born, that's when he started walking with God. He walked with God. And notice this. When he started walking with God, that's when his kids were all coming on the scene. He walked with God in front of his children. Amen. He walked with God in front of his children, in front of his family. That is the most striking thing in this story to me. Let me tell you something, folks. If for no other reason, you should walk with God for the sake of your children. Let them see your walk with God. Let them see that you know God, and that no matter how bad the world gets or how complicated your world gets, you have a walk with God that will guide you along the way. You see, in Enoch, I see a man who just lived an ordinary life. He had children, lived at home, same house where he had lived before he had children. He was just like you, just like me. He had an ordinary life. But here is the great lesson for all of us to learn. Folks, the mark of a person who walks with God is to do ordinary things in an extraordinary fashion. The mark of a person who walks with God is to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. And if you are living the Christian life, walking with God on a daily basis, you are living the Christian life in an extraordinary way. You're living the Christian life different from the way a lot of people are living the Christian life. You know, the majority of Christians in the average church, they don't have any walk with God. They don't read their Bibles. Man, get in the book. You know why that's there? Because y'all have heard that so many times, you're sick of hearing it. Get in the book. Get in the book. Get in the book. Man, you're not going to live for God just showing up here one Sunday listening to me. I'm nothing. But if you're in this book, and then you come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you get it taught and you get it preached and the Holy Spirit drives it home, oh, listen, that's different. That's different than the way most quote-unquote Christians live the Christian life. That's extraordinary. And God bless you for your faithfulness. But the majority of the Christians, they don't live the Christian life that way. They're not in the Bible on a daily basis. They don't come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Folks, listen, three to thrive, Dr. Robertson, you say all the time. Three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just be in God's house, three to thrive, and walk with God. There is no extraordinary thing happening in most people's Christian experience. It ought to be in yours. And if you walk with God, it will be. He did quite ordinary things, but he did them in extraordinary ways. And he saw the hand of God in everything. He walked with God. He was always praying. He was always seeking guidance from God. And the reason is because God was always there. He walked with God. You know, long before David penned his Psalms, Enoch had cast his burden on the Lord, and he found that the Lord had sustained him. And verse 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, isn't that something? You know, Enoch didn't die like you and me. He didn't die. He got raptured. He got taken. Lester Roloff, I heard him preaching it. I heard him say this. But he had a way, his old country way, he had a way of telling a story that just, you were riveted. And I heard him preach on Enoch one night. And he said, I don't know exactly how this happened, but I can just imagine that God and Enoch were out walking one day. And all the fellowship was so sweet. Everything was just, I mean, there was not a cloud in the sky. The birds were singing. And Enoch was just walking along, and he and God were talking about all the kids and everything that was going on. And it started to get late in the evening, and the sun was going down. And old Enoch looked at his sundial. And he said, Wow, would you look at the time. I'm never going to get home in time for dinner. My wife's going to kill me. And God said, Enoch, you know, why don't you just come eat dinner at my house tonight? And Enoch was not, for God took him. And how long do you think they looked for Enoch before they finally just said, well, I guess we just better have a memorial service for the fella. I bet they searched high and low, don't you? But he was nowhere to be found. And I want you to imagine the memorial service for Enoch. I'll guarantee you there was a big crowd there. And probably the pastor said, does anybody have anything they want to say about Enoch? And folks started lining up. But I'll guarantee you, they all turned around and went and sat down in just a few minutes. You say, why would they sit down? Because the first guy got up and he looked out at the crowd and he said, folks, I've been thinking all morning what I'm going to say about Enoch. And you know, the only thing I can think of was that man walked with God. Thank you very much. And just turned and went off. The next guy was standing there looking and going, well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Ditto, and he went and sat down. And the next guy said, yep, that's what I was going to say about him. I don't need to say anything else, thank you. And he went and sat down. Nobody got up and said, you know that Enoch, that guy could fix anything. If anything was broken, just take it to Enoch. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. The only thing they could say about Enoch was, that man walked with God. Now, Christian, let me ask you, what's going to be said about you? I've done funerals, oh my soul, hundreds, probably thousands of funerals in 39 years. I've stood at the casket and I've had the family walk in and they weep and cry, and the only thing they could say is, boy, she sure was a good cook. The only thing they could say is, boy, he sure was a good gardener. The only thing that they could say was, you know, he sure was a good mechanic. You don't want that to be the only thing said about you when you're gone. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if your friends and your church and your family could walk by and look down at your body and say, she sure did walk with God. He sure did walk with God. I'd say that's 10,000 times more important than how good of a pie you could make. Enoch walked with God. When it was all said and done, that was God's testimony about the man. What's God's testimony about you?